SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, make sure you get the Sports Grid app on iOS or Android in the Play Store. It's unbelievable. You can watch the network on the app. You can listen to the network on the app. You get it. There's the TV side and the radio side on the app. You can follow your favorite hosts like Carver High and get in-game odds all at the same time and stories, videos, highlights, you name it. It's on the Sports Grid app. It's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Hey, did you know we're streaming on X? Yeah, right now and every day, all day, 7 days a week. Just go to SportsGrid-Live, and you can watch us streaming on X. You can get the Pharrell Coast to Coast and Pharrell on the Bench podcast on iTunes, in the Apple, you know, iTunes little thingamajigger. You're good to go. Like, go get them every day. The full three-hour show, and then the Pharrell on the Bench. It's like a jaunt through sports of everything that happened and everything that's happening and everything that's going on every day, all day, every week, everything. You know, you're just going to be very happy and pleased. All right. I wanted to give you the lineup for tonight. Don't forget the programming note. Tomorrow, 3 to 6, Friday, 3 to 6, we are live at the Mothership Sports Grid at the network doing Bracket Central. We got it all going. We're covering the tournament live together, all of us, the entire crew, at the Sports Grid Network Studios tomorrow, 3 to 6, and Friday, 3 to 6. All right, tonight on Sports Grid TV, after this show at 6 to 8, it's GTD, Game Time Decisions with the mayor of Miami, Joe Ranieri, my boy. At 8 to 10, it's In-Game Live with Scott Wetzel, Opposite Picks, and the sportsbook consigliere, Dave Sharapan from Sin City. And then at 10, it's Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci and Cam Stewart. And on the radio side, on SiriusXM 159 and all of our affiliates, it's Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid TV and Sports Grid Radio. Tonight, all night long, like the Four Horsemen, you are good to go. All right, let's talk about tomorrow and all the games that we're going to be covering while we're live 3 to 6 on Sports Grid TV and Sports Grid Radio.
Yes, why don't we do that? And we'll start with the first game of the day. And this one might be over by the time we get on, but we never know. We've seen some crazier stuff. And Creighton and Louisville will start it off. 12:15 East tip. This game, of course, Scotty, is taking place in Lexington, so not very far for the Cardinal to travel for this game. They are 2.5-point favorites. 145.5 is the total. The Blue Jays and the Cards kicking things off.
Yeah, I'm worried about Chucky Hepburn. I'll tell you what, because I like Creighton, and I think that Louisville is going to give them problems with this great guard of theirs. This guy's like, I think he's one of the best players in college basketball. He's a real issue for Creighton to deal with. But Creighton's got a great point guard in their own right, who's 60 years old, and they got a 7-foot monster, so... You know, I was really disappointed in Creighton against St. John's in the second half when they scored about 2 points at the Garden when they were in the game at halftime, and then they didn't come out of the room and play ball. They just got blown out. So I'm concerned about them, but they are a really good team when they want to be, and they got size and they got great ball handling and talent. I've always believed that if you have a true point and you got a big, you're going to give people problems in this tournament, and Creighton has exactly that. What I think Louisville has is Chucky. Chucky Hepburn is the difference maker for that Louisville Cardinal team, and that's why they're in the tournament.
I'm with you. Now, I wanted to take Creighton, but they're such a live-by-the-three, die-by-the-three team, right? Like, that's it. That's Creighton's game. And if they're not hitting their threes, like in the second half against St. John's, it gets real bare quickly with them in terms of scoring. So that worries me. I think Louisville's going to win. I like that over, Scotty, the 145
in hand. Why would you ever shoot threes all day when you got a 7-foot guy that's a monster and you can get dunks? He can do whatever he wants in the low block. I would move that ball down into the low post, and I think it would open up their threes. I think they have to go through Kalkbrenner to win the game.
Yeah, but the 45-year-old professor gets, he likes chucking those threes up back there. So when they get that back there to him, that's
great. He's on his third wife.
Kid. Next game, 12:40 East tip in Providence. First game of the day there, where High Point, that's right, High Point, baby, the champions of the Big South, taking on Purdue. Right now, Purdue down to 7.5. This opened about 9.5. 152.5 is the total in this one. I know that this is starting to become a little bit of a popular play here, Scotty, but I'm here for it. I'm taking High Point, baby. In fact, I think they could win. I've seen Purdue lose to worse teams in the NCAA tournament. Let's go.
Yeah, I don't see it. I think High Point's going to get cooked by Braden Smith and the Boilermakers. I think they have too much outside, and I think they have too much inside. And Ren, I think that they can win this game over High Point easily. I'll take the Boilermakers.
Third game of the day, East Region, which actually this game is going to be on Denver at the Ball, is where the Badgers will see the Grizzlies of Montana. So our first big wood here, 16.5. I saw it even touching 17 last night. 151.5 the total. And now, unlike High Point, Scotty, I don't think that the Grizz will win, but I think that that's a lot of points, and I think I'm going to take Montana.
Yeah, it's not the worst play I've ever seen when you're getting 17 and a hook. I think Wisconsin wins the game by controlling the tempo here, and they own this game, but winning by 18 for me is a little sketchy. I just think the Badgers will win. I wouldn't want any part of, like, I'm not betting games and laying 17.5. I'm not laying 28.5. I'm not laying 30. I'm not doing it. So there's better value in bets that make sense than to sit there all day and chew my fingers off.
That's what you got to do with some of those big ones. I'll be taking it, hopefully, comfortably. We shall see with Montana and those heavy points. First game of the day in Wichita, which is where number one Houston is going to face SIU Edwardsville. This is 28.5, as you were just talking about. We mentioned this earlier with the big spreads. 28.5, but such a low total. Now up to 126.5. Man, that's, like you said, like almost 30 points. I mean, that's a lot of nail biting if you take Houston, possibly, all the way down to the end.
Here's a game that kind of stands out to me like a sore thumb. I think that Houston's going to literally hold SIU Edwardsville to 28 points. They're not even going to score 30 points in this game. So I think Houston will absolutely rip SIU Edwardsville. A new arse. That'll be that. Their defense, they're going to clamp down on them like they have never seen. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be their worst day ever with a defense that's just too much for them to even understand.
That's why, as crazy as it looks for such a low total with such a high spread, I'm with you. There's a chance Edwardsville doesn't crack 30 or 40. And all you need, I think it's going to be a tough day at the office for them to score some points as long as Houston's engaged. So I'm going to take that under,
60
actually.
60 to 35 in this game. I'm not even kidding.
Under 126.5. That's going to be the play for me in this Houston Edwardsville game. I'm going to go after that under. All right. I got to do the Valspar with Cam, and then we'll do the rest of these on Thursday, including. Has the McNeese line moved now that we know that Will Wade is skipping town after the game?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast here on a Wednesday. And yes, it's tournament time, but still a golf Wednesday on C2C after the Players' Championship playoff win for Rory McIlroy. We finished the Florida swing at the Copperhead Course in Innisbrook for the Valspar Championship, the Paint Cup we are playing for this week. And of course, every week, the Prime Minister, Cam Stewart, is with us. The outrights, the placements, the top, the first round leaders. everything you could ever possibly want. Cam, at least it wasn't heartbreaking for me and you. We had nothing. We had nothing in the players coming down the stretch. We had a tough go. I had a couple. You know what? You know who actually, Cam, saved my weekend?
Yeah.
I was thankfully, because his numbers were so large, I ended up playing Hoagie 5, 10, 20, and 40. So I ended up playing him on all. I laddered Hoagie with all the placements, and that's really the only thing that saved me from a complete whitewash. Well, at the players.
He owed
so that
you.
Helped me out.
He owed you for years.
He did.
He came back.
Yeah,
I got to tell you, Carter, I have Zalatoris at 80. What's he do? He takes an 8 on a par 4. My girlfriend's like, don't worry. You got a couple other guys. I'm like, oh, he just took a triple. I go, this tournament is pissing me off. Like, I was actually like mad watching golf on Saturday. I go, I am done. I am betting hockey. I am betting anything but golf right now. Basketball, horse racing. Oh, I was raging, man.
You can blame me probably because I wanted to take Willie Z at the 80 number and I didn't. And then he played well Friday. And Friday night when I was doing a couple add-ons, I saw him at 50 and I scooped him up. This was during the day while he was making his move. And then, of course, like you said, in the tank on Saturday, didn't get the job done for us. All right, Valspar, here's the story this week, Cam. And as you look at the top of the board, we got some big games here this week. Anytime Tommy Fleetwood's a favorite, though, for a guy who's never won an event on the PGA Tour, plenty of Europe wins, I get it. No PGA Tour wins. That's something that's got to be like, what kind of a field do we have here? Xander's here. Justin Thomas is here. We have Spieth here. So we have Sepp Straka, Shane Lowry. We have names, Cam, but the story is the weather. And all of the golf gambling Twitter has already been on fire with AM, PM this week because the winds are going to pick up on Thursday. The afternoon guys are going to get blown away. It's going to still be there on Friday morning. And then the guys going out Friday afternoon again are going to get it cooled down a bit. So it seems like, Cam, everyone's building their cards. There is the top of our board with Fleetwood there, along with Xander, Seppi, and Justin Thomas and Tom Kim. Let's get it going, Cam. Here's mine. When these numbers got dropped after the tee times came out, I bought in on Corey Connors and Willie Z. So Corey Connors at 35-1. I know he hasn't been able to putt on Sundays, but he's been involved the last couple of weeks. Maybe we can break through with him here this week at the Valspar. Willie Z played well for 2.5 days, 45-1 for him. Jägerbombs has played well the last few weeks, 50-1. How about the bridge? We want a bridge, Cam? The Bridgeman.
Bridgeman.
Jacob at 55-1, and then we'll go big bombs. Lots of wind. Who plays well in the wind? A lot of these European guys. Ryan crazy like a fox at 100-1, and I can't quit him, Cam.
Oh, no,
our last
no.
Florida event, you know no. I got to do it. Cole Kane train. Eric Cole, 150-1. Come
if Cole Kane wins, I will literally go off the top of my house and jump into, like, anything. Like, I don't even care. Not a pool either. I'm talking about shrapnel. Give me Glover at 45-1, playing very well last week and a great history here. Alex Smalley. Hey, if K-Stu likes him, C-Stu likes him. 55-1. Jägerbombs all around. Trust me, I needed him after last week, looking at my golf bets going, this one sucked. And I will take an afternoon nap, too. Hopefully not a dirt nap on Sunday. I'll tell you, man, 80-1. Jake Knapp is in fine form right now, Carver. Hey, I added Mel Bridgman, too. Former New Jersey Devil great.
Oh, your boy Bridgman. Your boy Mel. placements for me, Cam. I know that JT and the Irish Bear are on the wrong side of this weather draw, but I'm still going to play him for tens. 185 for JT, 290 for the Irish Bear. And then here we go. European players in the wind. Let's go. And then South African player as well. Rasmus Højgaard, top 10 at plus 410. Victor Perez, top 20 at plus 410. Thirsty Lawrence, top 20 at plus 450. And Matthew Pavon, top 20 at 490. Now, all four of those guys, Cam, are in the early morning Thursday, late wave Friday part. So that's why I'm playing those guys.
I like your picks, Carver. And by the way, people know, like, this tournament, it's going to be an absolute disaster if the wind picks up. Like, we can have, like, what happened at the players. Like, guys going absolutely, like, quads and stuff. I'm going to go with Tommy Fleetwood. Don't want him to win, but I'll tell you, he fits all the marks here. Great ball striker, plus 140, Sepp Straka. He's got game, plus 165. I'm with you on the Prime Minister, Corey Connors. Top 20 for a plus 130. You got more stones than me. Zalatoris. This guy, I want to strangle him after what happened last week, but I'll take him for a top 20. Ben Griffin's got game, and Sam Ryder's on the storm, hitting the ball straight. Great price for a top 20 with him, Carver.
Great price indeed, Cam, for him. All right, first round leader bombs. I went all AM. Nice. Everyone's teeing off here before 10 a.m. on Thursday. I'm taking nobody in the afternoon. Tommy Fleetwood at 25-1. This will be a perfect Tommy Fleetwood situation. He's the favorite this week. He'll play great on Thursday, and then he'll let all you guys down who are taking him for the whole tournament over the weekend. So I'll take him on Thursday. Tom Kim, same thing, 35. There's Rasmus again at 55. The Poseidonhout Adventure, 65-1. I can't quit Cole, 75-1 in the first round as well. Davis Riley at 75-1. And another Thursday warrior who's going out very early and could get a good score, CT Pots and Pans at 90-1.
I'm going to have to play Cole with you or else I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. Congratulations, though, on your win with Rory McIlroy and George Cervenka survivor pool. I survived with both guys. Zalatoris at 40, afternoon nap at 60. Bridgman, a lot of the guys I like outright. Corey Connors, I got a boost to 65-1. Jaeger's a hot starter. And Sam Ryder to 110-1. I'm with you. I got to add Cole because if he's the first round leader and I don't have him, I will go nuts.
Cam, we head to Texas next week. We get out of Florida after a month. It's been a little frustrating banging our heads against the wall. Hey, Singapore this week on the European Tour. How about Bobby Mack flying across the world to be a 9-1 favorite in that tournament? Get serious. Give me Matthew Jordan at 40-1 in Singapore, Cam. Let's go.
MJ, the real MJ.
Get on the MJ train. We'll see Cam next week for the Houston Open as they will be heading there, a Golf Wednesday on Coast to Coast. For El Coast to Coast here, Carver High with you. We'll come back. We got a lot more to do.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Always exciting having the Prime Minister on talking golf with Carver High. Fantastic stuff. Now we get back into the college rack, which we're diving in head first for Thursday. Remember, we'll be live from the mothership, Sports Grid, the network studios in Farrelladel tomorrow, 3 to 6, right here on C2C. It's smarter to be on Sports Grid.
Yes, indeed. And we will get a lot of these next four games that I am about to give you. They will be right on our window when we're on Coast to Coast tomorrow. Of course, Alabama State won last night. The present for them is the reward. They get to play Auburn tomorrow. 32.5? You kidding me? 149.5. 32.5? Come on.
I want no part of that, although I'll say this, that Auburn has lost 3 of 4 going into this game. They have not been playing well, and everyone, I can't even believe, frankly, that they're the number one overall seed. Like, they just, what this is, it's glaring to me that they're saying the SEC tournament doesn't matter at all, and that they're basing this on their high ranking all season long in a regular season, which is dopey to me. Like, everything should be about the end and the conference tournaments in terms of the highest seed for the overall NCAA tournament. I do not believe you can say, oh, they were great all year, and then they were terrible at the end when they lost 3 or 4, but we're going to make them the number one seed. I bet my ass they don't cover the number. I really do. I think Alabama State will be in the game and that Auburn will win and handle their business and get the dub, and that'll be that. But winning by that many points and blowing them out by 35-40, you know, I actually don't see it. I really don't. Because what I watched was a team that was all of a sudden in a little bit of disarray to me. Auburn, honestly, Mike, 3 of 4, you lose. Like, all of a sudden, like, what? Why? And you're the number one overall seed. I don't see him winning the NCAA championship at all. I mean, at all. Like, I don't even, like, I moved on from they're the best team in the country a month ago.
No doubt. They have not played well here, but they do get to jumpstart themselves against Alabama
State. It's not simple, Mike. You're not playing well.
Sure.
And now all of a sudden, so look, this is not the Boston Celtics here. Flick of the switch. ACDC, yeah. That Auburn can just turn it on and off. I don't deny Broome. I don't deny Pearl. I don't deny that they are a heavyweight for Alabama State. They're going to be a problem. But they haven't been playing well, so don't they just want to go out and, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, they'll win by 50. But, you know, they haven't been playing well, so could you see them just winning by 25?
I could. It's 32 is just stupid. I can't get involved.
What does Alabama State have to lose than to play their ass off?
Correct. And, you know, they've played a game. They just played last night. So they're going to have that little bit of adrenaline, I guess you could say, running through them.
Right.
In fact, I'd almost like the first half more than anything else. I'd have to look what it is. It's probably in the 16 range, 15 to 16. First half's probably where I would want to live. McNeese against Clemson is the next game for you tomorrow afternoon. Now, we did the story with Will Wade. He's leaving. But, of course, he's still going to coach McNeese State here. Meanwhile, Clemson's coach, Brownell, he got himself a big, fat extension. It's still 7.5, minus 7.5 for Clemson, 133.5 the total.
You know, my feeling is that the McNeese kids are going to say, you know what, you screw us, we'll screw you. We're not even going to listen to you anymore. Clemson, easy here by 10 or more over McNeese, and the Tigers handle their business. This is a really good team. They don't get any respect because they play in the ACC. I've even heard that the ACC and Big East want to merge their basketball programs so they have a big mega conference. Well, then do it. But I'll tell you one thing. Clemson's better than McNeese, especially when their coach just screwed them. I mean, lame duck coach, lame duck effort.
Yeah, that was, as we said earlier, very gutless.
Couldn't he at least lie to him and just kept it a secret and just lied to him? Like, honestly, like...
He could have waited till Friday when they lose tomorrow.
I mean,
you know,
honestly,
he could have waited till then to let all that information.
You would have waited to screw me.
I would have waited. We'll get through the last few when we come back, including I love this VCU BYU game that'll be on while we're on too. I think that's going to be a fun game Thursday afternoon.
The stress of it all.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so we're going to talk about this game in Denver now with VCU and BYU. I think this is going to be an utterly fantastic basketball game.
I do too. As I said to you on Monday, it bothers me that they're playing each other because I kind of liked both of these teams to maybe make some noise. And now they got to square up. Minus 2.5 for BYU. 146.5 is the total. I've been back and forth with this game. I really have. I walk back and forth, and I think the small thing that tips the scale for me, and it's very small, is that it's really not a big trip for BYU, and they know the elevation, and everybody makes such a big deal about that. You know, you got VCU coming from the East Coast to play in Denver. I probably lean BYU. BYU could shoot, man.
All right, so let me be as blunt as possible here. The brothers don't care about altitude.
All right.
Okay? So here's what's going to happen. I think BYU is a great three-point shooting team. The difference for me is going to be that VCU will not allow them to shoot threes. VCU is a defensive lockdown team. They are going to be up in their shack. VCU will stun BYU and cover and win outright.
Would not stun me.
And I like BYU. Tell you. I bet on BYU left and right, but I think VCU's defense. To me, the NCAA tournament, typically for my blood, is for defensive teams to get it done and move on. If you can clamp down on that end, anything's possible at the other end. If you make plays defensively and get stops and get rebounds, you can win a game against anyone if you do the right things defensively. Bob Knight won 3 national championships, and let me tell you how they won them. With defense.
I like the under 146.5. If it's going to be that kind of game, It ain't going to get both teams in the high 70s.
I like that bet a lot, Mike.
Let's go under the 146.5 with VCU and BYU. And the last game of the afternoon session is in Wichita with Georgia and Gonzaga. Gonzaga has now been pumped up to 6.5, 150.5 the total.
Listen, I'm going to go really Rogie Vachon here and high risk. I believe Georgia will cover the number and Gonzaga will win this game by a bucket. They will not cover that number. You know why? Because they have been so average this year, it's not even funny. This is the most fair to Midland Mark Few team that he's ever brought into 26 straight NCAA tournaments. They just aren't that good. And Georgia is on their level. They're about the same team, spitting image. To me, 6.5 is too much. I say the Bulldogs are in the game, and Gonzaga has to work to win by a bucket or two, and they won't cover 6.5. I like the number.
I think Gonzaga is going to win. As the number keeps getting higher, it's getting a little more tricky for me. So I think I'm going to go Gonzaga. I'm probably going to look at that total as well. I like a lot of totals tomorrow, Scotty. 150.5, I think, is a little high. I think it's going to be – it's a grinder game, too. That could be another under that I'm going to look at. All right, tomorrow afternoon when we're on watching these games, we'll all obviously be previewing a lot of the night games, too. So we'll dive a little deeper into those tomorrow, but I'll at least give you some numbers updated for now in the night session, including Tennessee, now 18.5 against Wofford. That Kansas game we talked about before is 4.5. You've got Yale, still 7.5 they're getting from Texas A&M. And Drake, Missouri, which I think is going to be a fantastic game too, 6.5 for Mizzou.
Well, let me start by saying Tennessee will strangle the Terriers and they will gag out. The Vols will win and cover that number. And I like Kansas over Arkansas and the 4.5. Now, as far as these other two games, I think Missouri, you know, for me, is gonna beat Drake. Am I crazy? I think Missouri will get it done against Drake. I really do. But that number's sketchy. The 6.5 is live for certain. And then A&M and Yale, I think the only way Yale wins this game is if they break two noses at least in the game, because I think A&M will beat them.
I know everyone's on Yale because of last year and they beat Auburn. Buzz Williams is going to show his kids that game like 600 times this week. There's no way that Buzz is not going to have his team prepared for what Yale does and what they do differently from everybody else. I actually think Texas A&M is going to smash them tomorrow night. Smash them.
Yeah.
Which is what they should do.
Like I said, I like Drake and the number. A lot of people think that Drake is going to win this game outright. And I'm, you know, that's reasonable. But for my money, I still think Missouri's better than Drake and bigger than Drake, and they'll beat Drake. But Drake will cover.
I usually like Drake. I've taken them the last couple years with some disappointing losses in this first round. I think that they're going to have a hard time. Missouri plays so fast, and if Missouri's making shots early, the waves of offense that Missouri's going to hit Drake with, they're not going to be able to come back from that. They're not built to come back from down 10, 15-plus points. I like Missouri in the game. All right, and the late-night games, UCLA -5.5 against Utah State, St. John's, -18.5 against Omaha. Michigan -2.5, even though according to most people they've already lost, to UC San Diego. And Texas Tech 14.5 with Wilmington out of the CAA.
Well, I mean, like one thing, you know, I think Omaha is going to have problems with St. John's for 40 minutes of full court press. That to me is a real problem for them. I have no idea what Omaha is about. I know I've bet on them this year blindly. Like, I'll admit that I bet on them blindly. I have no idea what I'm betting on, and that's just a bad way to go through your day. But St. John's is flat out a defensive juggernaut, and they are going to strangle them like a python. I am not one to buy Michigan losing to UC San Diego. I don't see it. I know everyone loves UC San Diego. Let me tell you something. They have a beautiful campus. So does U San Diego. So does San Diego State. Let's be clear. Everywhere in San Diego is beautiful, but won't be beautiful when they lose to Michigan in this game. That'll be the end of them. They're going to lose. I like Wilmington to cover the number, but Texas Tech's going to win that game come hell or high water. I want Utah State desperately to beat UCLA, but, you know, it's just not going to happen. These Mountain West teams end up vomiting all over themselves like Tracy Morgan at the Garden.
There you go. Thursday's NCAA tournament games. Tomorrow we'll also probably have a little time at some point to dip into Friday's games. Lots of great games on Friday, too. All right. NIT. We have games tonight. Yes. Now, quickly, Kent ended up winning at Bonnie. Jacksonville State ended up winning at Georgia Tech. The Chattanooga Middle Tennessee game was wild. Three overtimes, and Chattanooga beat them. Arkansas State thumped St. Louis.
Cover.
Oklahoma State covered against Wichita. Santa Clara beat the hell out of Riverside. I mean, a 40-point win for Santa Clara. And Stanford beat up Northridge by 17. When we come back, I have two more racks of NIT games. I mean, the NIT gets it going quickly. Last night and tonight, two racks, including the Anteaters tonight. Getting involved at Irvine against Northern Colorado. Everyone knows I love the Anteaters.
And it is a big, kahuna night at the Barella Palace of the Cat as the girls are going out to the basketball dinner.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver High did mention that I got cleaned real nice and tight today. I just cleaned up real nice and tight for the trip down to the mothership tomorrow. Got cleaned up just in time for the Thursday, Friday start of the tournament. Got to get cleaned up nice and tight.
You do have to do that. I won't be doing that before tomorrow. There's just
that's okay, though.
Shot.
You look good. You look
that
good.
That happens. There's the zero chance that I get cleaned up before then. All right, here we go. NIT tonight. Two racks of games. Nine games altogether in the NIT, including St. Joe's, who, of course, won a couple of games at the A-10, had a very good year. They have UAB coming into Philly tonight. We also have Samford at George Mason. They had a good year in the A-10. Dayton, and now Dayton is at FAU tonight. So Dayton was the higher seed in the bracket, but because they play the first four games in Dayton, they have to go to Florida Atlantic to play this game tonight. North Alabama is at Bradley. Furman at North Texas, who's had a lot of NIT success the last couple of years.
Yeah, so UAB was on the cusp of an NCAA bid. And this game's in Philadelphia, but I think UAB's better than St. Joe's. And I think George Mason's the best play on this board. A lot of people thought they should be in the tournament and got screwed, but no one cares about George Mason at all unless you go to school there. I like GM to get it done. I like FAU tonight in Boca. I think it's a major disadvantage for Dayton going down there. I know they're allegedly better. If they're so good, why are they in the NIT? They're not. Mm-hmm. They're not that good, and they're not playing at home. So I think they're upset about it. The kids are like, "What do you mean we're going to Boca? And we're only going to be there for one night, and we can't go to the beach? Give me the Owls at home tonight in the small gym in Boca Chica." Also, Chop applying to FAU. She wants to go to Boca Chica, wow, to college because she grew up going to Boca. Bradley, I like at home with the runaway train. And the same thing down in Texas with the green, the mean green over the Paladins. I think the mean green get it done tonight going away, Carver High, just like last night.
I do, too.
A lot of blowouts.
I like the mean green as well. Now, late night, a lot of my favorite teams playing in this late night NIT schedule. Northern Iowa is at SMU tonight. SMU laying the big number. Here it is. Northern Colorado, who was the best regular season team in that Big Sky this year, they got to go see the Anteaters of UC Irvine. 7.5, big number. The Dons laying 7.5 against Utah Valley, who was good in the WAC. And Loyola of Chicago taking the late night West Coast trip to see San Jose State. Are they bringing Sister Jean with them out there to Cali?
She can't fly that far at 110, but the Ramblers are going to San Jose. Let's not forget the Spartans are a losing team. Somehow they got in this tournament, and how in God's name are they playing at home? And is this game not in Chicago? I will never know, but the Ramblers have to go out there and stick it to them. The Dons will not be denied, but Utah Valley's good. I'm telling you, it's going to be a game. I like Irvine at the Bren Center. Forget about it. And SMU in Dallas, I'm sorry, they're not losing to Northern Iowa. If this game was at Northern Iowa, I would take them. I think they'd win the game outright, but they're playing in Dallas. I like the Stangs, and they're going to run away with it.
There you go. Plenty of NIT action for you tonight you want to get involved, especially late night. If the game's bad, like last night with that North Carolina game, you never know.
Love it.
All right, I got lots of NBA to get to, including a huge slate tonight. There's tons of NBA. There was only a few games last night. Warriors beat the Bucks 104-93. Curry didn't play. We talked about that. We didn't think he would. But Jimmy Butler did. He was doing it all on NBC Sports Bay Area.
14. There you go. Butler on Lillard. Drop it off to Gary to put it in. And do it without Curry. Butler to Pajemski, another three. Got it! Oh, Pajemski!
You have no idea how much I hate Jimmy Lymphoma. But I did bet on the Dubs last night, so I covered. I told you they'd win. I said to you on this show 100 times, they'll win 6 of the 7 home games in the homestand. And what are they now? 4-1. So they got two games left, I think, unless I'm mistaken. They're going to win. I think they'll win both of those, too. So they've lost the one game, Denver, which we thought would be the game they'd have a problem with. And now I think they'll finish it off. They looked good last night.
Yeah, they are 5-1 on it so far.
Well,
so they are 5-1 on the homestand. They have one game left. Toronto tomorrow night finishes off that homestand.
They're not losing to them either.
So they're going to go 6-1 on there. Now, here is, let's quickly get Jimmy Lymphoma in. He had 24, 10, and 8. And you just got to understand, Scotty, Jimmy is a changed man. He is a team player.
He's found God.
I think I've matured a lot and grew into that. Whenever I was young in the league, it was always score, 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 show everybody that you belong in this league. I know that I belong in this league now. I'm comfortable with who I am as a player. So now it's always about my guys. Whatever y'all need me to do, Dre's the same way, Steph's the same way. Like, all of us that have been in the league for a little bit, it's only about winning at this point in time in our career. And for them, it always has been. Not the same for me, but now more than ever.
Yeah, that's great. Considering that he's burned down everywhere else he's been. I mean, he has literally destroyed every team he's been on, and he's finally on a team with a bunch of guys that have been there forever, and they're not going to tolerate his bullshack.
He's a team player now. You got to, have to give him. By the way, Draymond Green last night was saying that he should win the Defensive Player of the Year since Wembanyama's out. That's what Draymond was saying.
Stop. The Great
He's 4-1.
Keith. Let's just stop already.
He's
stop
10-1 now, Daniels.
Stop.
He's Great Green's ahead of him on the board now, believe it or not. I couldn't believe that when I
not
saw
Not only is he not the Draymond. Defensive Player of the Year, he's ugly.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I just saw this guy Anderson for the Angels pitch, and he threw a ball literally into the stands. Like, he lost the grip of it. He threw the pitch into the seats. Like, what is happening here out in Arizona? I have seen it all. As we continue talking about NBA rack, there is a ton of money on the table every night in the NBA, even with the NCAAs getting ready to jump tomorrow. And even tonight with two play-in games, there's still money to be made.
Tons of money to be made. One other thing from last night, and that was the Clippers. I told you I liked the Clippers yesterday against the Cavs late night. 132-119. Kawhi, 33-7 boards. How about this Zubac with 28-20 last night against the Cavs?
And his total was 11.5 in boards, and it went over.
Yeah. He's been smashing his numbers lately. Harden had a big game, too. Late, though, it was Kawhi on FanDuel Sportsnet.
Leonard drives on Mobley, fades and fires. Oh, my! He's toggled the switch from that guy to him. The three. 33 for Kawhi Leonard. Another masterpiece.
So Harden had a move, I swear to God, last night that tore Evan Mobley's deesh nuts. With just a shake and bake to the right, back to the left, drag, and then he goes left. And he literally just ate him alive and went in and scooped and scored. The Clippers had it all going at the Intuit in Lipstick City.
Indeed. Also last night, Hawks did beat the Hornets 134-102. And the Celtics beat the Nets, but they didn't cover.
Right,
Nets covered that fat number
13.
Thirteen for them. Playoff matchups. If the season ended today, we try to do this a couple times a week. Really, it's not much change other than that West moves around every day. Whereas today it would be Lakers, Grizzlies, Nuggets, Warriors with you, and the play-in games haven't changed much in the West. T-Wolves, Clippers.
So wait a minute.
Yeah.
So the play-in games don't even matter. Can I see that again? Let me see this. The play-in game, I'm looking at it. So the Thunder get the winner of the play-in game. Is that right? Did I get
that
right?
Well, the winner of 7-8, which right now is Minnesota and the Clippers, would play the Rockets. Okay? And then the loser of that game plays the winner of the King-Maverick game for the right to play Oklahoma City. So there's three games all together in that play-in tournament. To decide.
I think the Rockets win that one, and then the play-in winner in the East would play
Let me tell you, I think the winner, if it stayed this way, Minnesota and the Clippers, I think the winner of that beat the Rockets in the first round. How about that? I think Minnesota or the Clippers will beat the Rockets in the first round if the Clippers are healthy.
So you like the way the T-Wolves are playing, if they beat the Clippers, that they would beat the Rockets. Now, what about on East Coast side? What does that one look like?
The winner of Atlanta-Orlando would play Boston right now.
Fail.
And then who's ever left of Bulls, Heat, and the loser of that would play the Cavs right now.
Fail.
On that side. So that's on fails all around for that. Of course, it's never too early to talk about the draft. Everybody loves the NBA draft. Of course, we know that Cooper Flagg is expected to be the number one overall pick, no matter who it is that gets him. But how about number two? NBA executives are now allegedly saying that it is clear-cut that Dylan Harper will be the second player taken in the NBA draft. No doubt about it. Second guy off the board.
I think he's an incredible talent. And then what's amazing is that I'm hearing more and more that they don't buy Ace Bailey.
Well, you know, don't buy. Maybe he won't be a top three pick, but he'll be a top 10 pick. I wouldn't sell him that far down the river.
And do you think that they'll get burned and that they're right, that he's not going to be a baller when he is clearly a baller? But what's amazing to me, I will never forget this season of these two star lottery picks that couldn't win games.
Well, you know, in the past, and I know these guys maybe are more talented, but we've talked about guys who go number one overall and their team sucked, whether that was Fultz or Simmons. Like, what's the problem here that you're the best player you're going to go, but your team didn't make the tournament or your team stinks? Like, and they had two guys, and they didn't get it done. So it makes you scratch your head a little.
How can you not win games when you have two superstar players on any effing team?